The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Once again, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I may inquire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What a blessing it is to be under the care and the protection and the provision of God. What a blessing it is to be a friend, a son, a daughter of the living God. What a blessing. What a blessing to come and worship him and praise him with other fellow believers. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to be once again able to worship the God of our salvation, the Lord of our salvation. And we get to do it here in America without, you know, any fear or any trepidation or anything. But some people, some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world literally take their life into their hands when they come and worship the Lord. But we get to do it freely here in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, in America. And so we thank God for this privilege to worship him this morning. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you today. We thank you for the choir reminding us, dear God, that you are indeed an awesome and a big and a mighty God. We thank you that you are our protection. We thank you that you are our provider. We thank you that you are our healer, our Savior, our Lord, our King. You're all that we need. You, dear Jesus, you've told us you are the bread of life. You are living water. You are indeed our rock. You are indeed the way, the truth, and the life. You are indeed the life and the resurrection. You're all that we need. So even now, dear God, speak to and through me, your servant, and give your people ears to hear, dear God, and a heart to receive what thus saith the Lord. And then fill us all the more with your Holy Spirit, that we might leave here today and not just be hearers of the word of God. Let us be doers. Let us live out our Christian faith. Let us be salt and light in wherever we might go. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand again, if you can stand this morning. And as I was talking about people walking in earlier, I got to say it again. I said it last week, but Sister Donna, good. Howie's daughter, Sister Donna, good to see her walking in again. Last week she walked in, and the week before that she had a walker, but this week she's walking in under more strength. So we thank God for, again, his healing touch. How God does work in us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, all kind of ways. God works in our lives. He works in our lives. It's in your bulletin, First John, as I continue preaching through the book of First John. We're going to read together collectively chapter 3 and verses 13 through 24. It says 34, but it's 13 through 24. And my preaching focus would be 16 through 24. So let's read the word of God together now. Do not be surprised, brothers. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. Let us... By this we shall know we are in truth. And reassure our heart before him. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Verse 16 again, by this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. I'm going to preach from this thought this morning, the benefits of living on the love level. The benefits of living on the love level. You may be seated. The benefits of living on the love level. We just read in verses 13 and 14, there are different levels. Those scriptures talked about the death level or murder or hatred level. Verse 18 talks about the indifference level. We'll see that in just a moment. But as followers of Christ, you and I should live on what I'm going to call the love level. That's how we should operate, on the love level. And there are benefits. I'm going to give you out of the text three benefits, or more than that, but three out of John's account this morning of the benefits that you and I, as we follow Christ, as we follow and obey God, as we strive to live on the love level, to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. As we operate on that level, there are benefits. There are great benefits. Verse 16 gives us the perfect example of this type of love that we've been preaching on for quite a few weeks. Now, it's the love that Jesus showed for you and me. Verse 16 says he laid down his life. That's love. We sing that song from time to time about how they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head and then he died. But oh, that's not how the story ends, because 3 days later, I said 3 days later, he rose again. Now that's love, to lay down your life. Nobody took his life from him. I was reading yesterday, reading in John 19, as I continue to read through the New Testament. Pilate was talking about, I got the power to take your life. Jesus, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. The power you think you have is only because my Father has maybe given you that power. You don't have the power to take my life. I lay my life down. I lay my life down. So nobody took the life of Christ. He willingly laid it down for you and for me. Now that's love. And so Jesus says, and John says, that's the type of love that you and I should show toward one another. We should willingly lay down our life for others. And guess what? Through the indwelling Christ, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his grace and his mercy, we have in us the wherewithal, Sister Pendleton, to pull it off. We can't do it in our own strength, but we can do it through the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can love others as we should love them. Jesus even says in John 13, listen to his words, in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new commandment I give to you. What is a new commandment, dear Jesus? That you love one another. He said, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Beloved, this is a commandment. This is not an option. This is not like, like in college, somebody had electives. Our brother Keith, you may or may not take that class. No, this is not an elective. This is a required course to love, Dana, to love one another. And Jesus said, love them just as I have loved you. Love one another. He said, by this, here it is. It's very evangelistic. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. How will they know it, Lord? If you have love one for another. So when we as Christians, it's pretty simple, really. When we as Christians don't show the type of love that we should show toward one another, we really undercut the gospel. Folks will say, well, no, that Christianity stuff, that stuff ain't too believable. They don't even look. They fighting all the time. They talking about each other, gossiping and slandering each other. That stuff must not be for real. So we undercut the gospel. We can have the greatest evangelistic team, the greatest type of model of discipleship set up. But if we don't have love for one another, Jesus says that the world won't even know if we his disciples. So live on the love level. And this love level, this love that the Bible is talking about and that I'm talking about this morning, Brother Adrian, it's not like just a feeling or an emotion. I mean, it might kind of start there, but it's really, this is true love, and this true love leads to action. I said it last week. Let me say it again. Some of y'all might have missed it. True love is not just known, but it's shown. True love is not just known. I mean, you got to know it, yes, intellectually and in your heart, you got to know it. But it's not just known, but it's also shown. But y'all didn't catch it that way. Let me say it this way. True love is demonstrative. It's an action. God demonstrates. He shows. He makes known, Sister Brinkley, he makes known his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True love, biblical love, Tim, it's known and it's shown. John 3:16. You all can say that one with me. John 3:16. That's one of the first verses all of us learned. John 3:16. But God so loved the world. Here it is, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, believeth in Christ, shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but shall have everlasting life. True love is demonstrative. It's not only known, but it's shown. 1 John 3:16. Once again, by this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to do the same. We ought to lay our lives down for the brethren, the Bible says. Lay our lives down. Now, as we talk about laying our life down, it could be something as simple as praying for someone else. It could be helping someone out financially. It could be simply giving of your time or your talents or your service to one another. Maybe going helping or visiting the elderly. Maybe like giving someone a ride that needs a ride somewhere. It's many ways this plays out. It could be maybe babysitting for a single parent that needs a break every now and then. It could be picking up groceries for someone. I mean, there are many ways to fulfill this, but we are called and we are commanded to love one another and to lay down our life for others. I mean, this is the message of the Bible, really, from Genesis to Revelation. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the Bible. Now, here are a few conditions that need to be met in order for us to even try to lay down our life for someone or help someone else. Very simple conditions. One is, you have to know that a need exists. See, we're not omniscient. So if you're in need, if you got a legitimate need, you got to let someone know, hey, I need X, Y, Z. So one way before we can even try to meet somebody else's needs, we got to first know, I got to know that the need exists. You know, especially in church sometimes, we bad. Well, I thought y'all knew. No, we didn't know, brother or sister. We're not omniscient. Let us know. Let us know. We're not the Lord. We serve the Lord. He knows. He might have known. But so you got to know that the need exists. Does that make sense? Here's the second criteria to laying down your life and meeting the needs of others, striving to meet the needs of others that we are commanded to do. You have to have the ability or the means to meet that need. Sometimes you may not have the ability or the wherewithal to meet that need. Now, you may can direct them to someone else. You may can help and assist. But sometimes you may not have the ability or the means to meet that need. So you first got to know about the need, and also you got to have the ability or the means to meet that need. And then thirdly, you got to be loving enough, you got to be caring enough and concerned enough to go ahead and meet that need. So you might know about the need, you might have the resource to meet that need, but you just might not really care. You may not really have love for that person. But you got to have those. You got to have those things, those conditions. You got to, when you know about the need, if you got the ability to meet that need, you got to be loving enough and caring enough to meet those needs. And again, we got to look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, when he came, he encountered people all the time that had needs. And as you read the Gospels, the only primary people who came to him, who he was kind of harsh with, if you will, were the religious leaders who really didn't see themselves as having any needs. They thought they were all together spiritually. They thought they had everything they need, kind of like the rich young ruler. And so Jesus ministered to them in one particular way. But everybody else, as we look at those people that Jesus Christ, who is our leader, who is our guide, who is our Lord, who is our perfect example, as we look at how he ministered to people compassionately. I said he ministered to others compassionately. Oftentimes, when you read through the gospel, you will see something like this. Jesus encountered so-and-so, and Jesus being moved with compassion. Can't help but to think of that time when Jesus was teaching in somebody's house and it was packed out. And these four guys came, good friends. They were carrying their paralyzed friend on a little mat, a little cot. And they couldn't get into the house. It was packed out. It was SRO, standing room only. They couldn't get in the house. So they said, wait a minute, we can figure this thing out. Many of the houses back then had a flat roof and they had a way you can go up on the roof easily. And so they said, let's just go up on the roof. Let's tear the roof off this house. So they went up on the roof. I almost said something else, but I ain't going to say it. They tore the roof off. They tore a hole in the roof. They tore a hole in the roof. And then they eased down, brother man, on the mat. And so here is Jesus in the middle of his teaching, teaching. And it's like interrupted his teaching. But Jesus, once again, moved with compassion. When he saw the guy who was on the mat, who could not walk, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Never forget that, saints, as we do help others. The most important need, that may not be the first thing you jump on, but the most important need is a spiritual need. Let me say that a little more slowly and a little more clearly. As we minister to others, the most important need is a spiritual need. Now, yes, people might be hungry. Yes, they might need this or that. But I always just try to prayerfully get toward the spiritual need for their relationship with the Lord. And so Jesus told this man who was paralyzed, your sins are forgiven you. That's a compassionate thing to say. Your sins are forgiven you. And that's a great verse that shows that he is God. Only God can forgive sins. People begin to murmur, who is this forgiving sins? Can he forgive sins? Jesus heard them, of course. And Jesus said, what's harder to do? Forgive sin or tell this man to get up and walk? And of course, they said, well, tell him to get up and walk. We don't think you can do that. And Jesus said, take up your pallet, stand up and walk. And the Bible said, a man got up, walked, took his pallet, went on out of the house praising the Lord. Sins forgiven and walking on out of the house. Jesus is a compassionate God. How about the lady with the issue of blood? Pressed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. I said she was healed. How about the demoniac who was hanging out in the graveyard? And Jesus took a little detour and went through the graveyard and met this guy who was demonically possessed. Jesus cast out the demons. And the Bible says the next time we see this guy, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. I said, clothed and in his right mind. But Jesus is a compassionate God. So he's called us the followers of Christ. So if he's compassionate, I said, if he's compassionate, if he laid down his life, we who say we follow him, we who profess him as our Lord and Savior, we should emulate him. We should do the same. Am I right about it? See, one of the names of God is our provider. I said, God is our provider. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. God is our provider. But look at verse 17 of 1 John 3. It said, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need. Now, this is just very clear. This is just very clear. Yet closes his heart against him or against her. How does God's love abide or hang out or control abide in him? John is saying that's impossible. You can't see somebody in need and you close your heart against them. John is saying the love of God is not abiding in you. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says this way in another place, said, do not forget to do good and to share. But with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased when you and I don't forget to do good and to share. 1 Timothy 6:18. You need to write these down and read these later. Meditate on them some. 1 Timothy 6:18. The word of God says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me read that one again. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and you and I have opportunities all the time, let us do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. Brother James would say it this way, the whole book of James, the book of action. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Listen to this. James said, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Here it is. Here's the test. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Love without being able to show that love is not true love at all. Love without works is a lie. Let me say that one again. Love without works is a lie. So James said, hey, look, you see somebody hungry. You see somebody that needs some clothes. And you just tell them, hey, go your way. Be warmed. Be filled. You know, watch this. We say this quite often. I'm going to pray for you. And that's good. That's okay. But often there's some other things you can do. Here it is. Sometimes we say stuff like this. The Lord will make a way somehow. Yeah, he can. And that's some way it might be right in your pocket. That some way it might be in your refrigerator. That some way it might be in your closet. I mean, if you see somebody cold, and I know it's hot now, but say if this is December, you see somebody cold and they don't have a coat on, and you're talking about go your way, be warm. And you got about 10 coats up in your closet, and you know, about half of them you can't even wear anymore, don't wear anymore. Go get a coat out of your closet and give the brother or sister a coat. Am I preaching clear this morning? I mean, James said if we say we got faith, but we don't have any works. Now, works does not save us, but watch this. Saving faith always produces some work. Let me say that again. Works does not save us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 8 tells us that. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, Brother Cornelius. But saving faith always produces some works. It always produces some fruit. True love always, always does the same thing. True love does. So verse 17 says, hey, look, if you got the world's goods, you be able to meet somebody's need, and you're talking about you close your heart against them. John said, how does the love of God abide in you? So there are benefits to living on the love level. Verse 18 amplifies that, saints. It says, little children, talking to the saints, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. In other words, he's saying just what James is saying. The Lord is basically saying, put your money where your mouth is. Don't just talk about it, but be about it. True love, again, is not only known, but it's shown. It's demonstrative. So don't just talk about it. Oh, I love you. God loves you. But there needs to be some actions, some meat put on that bone, so to speak. Is it all right this morning? Y'all getting quiet. I quieter out there this morning. Look at verse 19. We're going to begin now. Look at a few benefits, just three benefits from this text. There are more, but just three from John's gospel. I mean, 1 John, it's an epistle. By this we shall know. When the Bible says things like you shall know, you need to really pay attention. So if you listen, say amen. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, or that we are in the faith, that we are born again. By this, Sister Geraldine, we will know for sure that we are in the truth, and reassure our heart before him. What is it? For whenever your heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. God knows everything. Verse 19 and verse 20 is really kind of a summation of what we've been talking about previously in chapter 3. It's two main things, once again, that helps us to know that we truly belong to the Lord, because sometimes we can be, you might be self-deceived. You might think you belong to the Lord and really don't belong to the Lord, really don't be saved or born again. But two things, chapter 3 just screams out. One, it talks about, of course, how you living. What are you practicing? Are you living righteously? Is holiness, is that your lifestyle? Again, not sinless perfection, but is your life predominantly one of living right, living holy? That gives you assurance that I belong to the Lord. Deacon Beasley said it this morning in Sunday Blast, before we came to Christ, we weren't thinking about how we're going to live holy today. Matter of fact, your life probably wasn't much different from my life. Before I came to Christ, most mornings I woke up thinking about how I'm going to be sinning today. I don't say that proudly or arrogantly. I'm just saying that truthfully. What kind of sin can I get into today? What can I do today? But when I met Jesus, now my mindset is different. You still have that battle going on, but my mindset is like, okay, what can I do for the Lord today? How can I present myself, my body to him as a living sacrifice today? So that's a litmus test. Hey, I've been changed. My mindset has changed. Going from that wide road that leads to destruction, doing whatever I thought I could do and thought I was having fun and all that, to now I'm on a narrow road, which is a better road that leads straight to Christ. So that's one thing, how are you living, what are you practicing? And the second thing is right here in the text this morning, how's your love life? How's your love toward the brother? How's your love toward God first? Then how's your love toward others? John says, by this you will know that you belong to the Lord. If you striving to live holy, that's your heartbeat, that's your mindset, and also you're loving the brethren. You're laying down your life for others. You're trying to say, okay, how can I help other people? Brethren, just being self-absorbed and just self-consumed. John said, if you're living like that, you know you must belong to Jesus. So that's one of the benefits is from living on a love level versus living on an indifference level. Like verse 18 is the, verse 17 rather, is the indifferent level. Which you said, based on, I'm closing my heart up against that need. I could care less. I'm indifferent toward them. Earlier in this chapter 3, it talks about, once again, the death level, the murder level, the hatred level. But we are called to live on a love level. And so one of the benefits of living on a love level, here it is, the assurance of your salvation. You want to write that down. The assurance of your salvation. There's not many other things in life, probably not any other thing in your life or in my life that's more important than you knowing for without a shadow of a doubt that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that you belong to God. Knowing that you have been born again. And many people, true saints, sometimes struggle with their assurance of their salvation. Some people struggle because they need to, because they're not born again. But there's no greater truth than to have in your life this morning, beloved, than know that when you die, you go into heaven. To know that even before you die, when you walk out of here today, you know, hey, God is sovereign and he's in control of my whole life. Nothing is going to happen to me today unless first it filters through the sovereign hand of my Father, God, my Father, and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a reassuring thing. I said, that's a reassuring thing. I was talking to someone just yesterday. I won't mention their name. I didn't get permission to share it, but just yesterday, issue going on, job type issue where they might do some, you know, right size and a cut size and a downside and all that stuff. And he said, he has, he listens, just God gave him peace. It's peace. It's good to know that the God that you serve, if you're on a particular job and they eliminate that job, guess what? Who gave you that job in the first place? I'm just saying Christianity is a lot. It's real practical. This is a practical religion. This is a practical religion. Who gave you the job in the first place? The Lord. Okay, so if they cut that position, guess what? The Lord can give you another job. I said, the Lord can give you another job. Don't put your faith and trust in man. Man will let you down every time. That company might just collapse. They might be in the black. They might be making billions of dollars, but then next year, just flatline and the whole company go out of business. But now I put my faith in the Lord. Thank God for the Unums and the Blue Crosses and the TVAs and the school system and the other places, the Mueller's and all those places. Thank God for them. But God is our provider. I said, God is our provider. The Lord is our provider. So one of the benefits of living on the love level is God gives you, he gives me the assurance of our salvation. That I know without a shadow of a doubt that I've been born again. That I've been saved, that my steps are ordered, your steps are ordered, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So that's one of the great blessings that God does indeed assure us of our salvation. Because verse 19 and 20 talks about how oftentimes our heart, verse 20, our heart can condemn us sometimes. You know, our heart, our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions. Look here, every day of my life, not every day of my life, I don't necessarily feel saved every day of my life. Am I the only one in that? I don't always feel saved. Am I the only one like that? But God is greater than my feelings. God is greater than my little up and down emotions. God says you belong to me. The Bible says, God said he is greater than our own feelings, our own heart. Jeremiah said it this way in 17:9. Said the human heart is desperately sick and deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes you up, sometimes you down. So I don't believe, I don't place my eternal destination on my feelings. Or my emotions, my heart. Now, as you track with God, yeah, most of the time, you know, normally most of the time you will feel close to the Lord. You will feel, hey, I belong to the Lord. But there are some times you might do something, you might think something, somebody might say something to you, you might not even feel like a Christian. But I'm glad my salvation ain't dictated by my feelings or your feelings. So, as you live on a love level, as you follow the Lord and love the Lord and serve others, lay your life down for others, one of the things that comes out of that is the assurance that you belong to God. Is that right? You belong to Jesus. Let me give you a quick example. I think some of y'all still not getting this part right here, this hard part and how you feel and don't feel. Peter. I love to pick on Peter, one of my favorite brothers in the Bible. Peter was a man of action. He would say stuff, he would do stuff even without even thinking a lot of times. Sometimes it was good stuff, sometimes it wasn't so good. Well, you all might remember right before Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. Peter was like, Jesus, I'm going to always be there with you. Jesus, now hold up, Peter. You feeling a little too self-confident. Before this night, that was that Thursday night before Christ went to the cross on Friday. He said, before this night is over, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, oh, no. Y'all know the story. Y'all know the account. Peter said, no, not me, Lord, not me. Lo and behold. See, sometimes we can say stuff and really mean it. Say, man, no, if that happened to me, no, ain't no way I'm going to, you know, deny the Lord. And you might really mean it. But sometimes when the rubber meets the road, Peter, of course, denied Christ three times. Then the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. He was repentant. He had a godly sorrow. He had denied his Christ three times, saying, no, I don't know him. I don't know the man. And so I imagine if I could get inside Peter's head just for a moment, I can imagine Peter's heart kind of condemned himself. I can imagine Peter maybe saying, man, I'm disqualified now. I'm not one of the boys anymore. I'm not one of the disciples anymore. I've denied Christ three times. So I'm sure Peter's heart would kind of condemn him, if you will. But God, who is greater than Peter's heart, Jesus, who is greater than Peter's heart. You all remember that very next day, or what, 3 days later, rather, when the ladies went to the tomb of our resurrected Lord and Savior in Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. I'm talking about how God is greater than our heart, our feelings. In Mark 16 and 7, listen to what the angel, you know, listening to the Lord, said to these ladies. He said, do not be alarmed, told these ladies this. Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. I like what another gospel account said. Say, why y'all looking for the living amongst the dead? Christ is risen. He is not here. But listen to what the angel said. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. Yeah, I'm missing it. Go and tell his disciples. Now, Peter very well probably didn't think he was a disciple anymore. So the angel said, go and tell his disciples and Peter. Yeah, by the way, tell Peter too that Christ still has work for him to do. Go tell Peter too, even though he has denied Christ three times. Our God, our Christ is a Christ of a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. Even though his heart, his mind said, I'm not worthy. I don't even need to be a disciple. Go tell him he's still one of my disciples. Go tell him he's still one of my boys. And as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel message was preached, 3,000 souls got saved. Guess who preached the message? None other than our beloved brother Peter. So God, you know, he is greater than our heart. So one of the things of living on a love level, of loving the Lord and serving him and obeying him and laying down your life for others, is it confirms or reaffirms that you belong to Jesus. I say it confirms and reaffirms you belong to Jesus. Second thing, you want to write this down too, another benefit just out of this text. Of living on a love level, there are benefits to living on a love level, is answered prayer. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. I thank God for our prayer ministry, our prayer team from 12 to 12:30, Monday through Saturday. We're praying. Call in anytime. The numbers are in the bulletin. We pray here, of course, on Sunday. And every first Sunday, somebody say first Sunday. Every first Sunday, somebody say first Sunday. Every first Sunday, we meet here at the Lord's house. My Father's house should be called a house of prayer at 9 a.m. on every, somebody say first Sunday. First Sunday, we meet here and pray. I know y'all didn't get the memo or y'all missed it in the bulletin or something. I just had a chuckle. Most of y'all weren't here at 9 a.m. That's what I'm saying. You get another chance in July. First Sunday, somebody say first Sunday in July. We'll be here praying again at 9 o'clock. All three or four of us, however many be here, we'll be here praying. I'm going to say it one more time. First Sunday in July, 9 a.m., we'll be here praying. Lord willing, we'll be here praying. But one of the benefits, one of the blessings of living on a love level is God hears and answers our prayers. Now look, you can clap, you can raise your hand, but all of us in here, by the grace of God, if you're born again, all of us in here has had at least one prayer answered by God. Let me say that again. If you saved, you've had one prayer answered by God. God, I am a sinner in need of a savior. I know my life is jacked up, messed up. I know I deserve hell, but I know Jesus died for me. I want to receive him as my Lord and savior. Please forgive me. Please bring me into your kingdom. And if you are saved today, God answered that prayer. Everything after that is like gravy. He's answered my prayer of saying, I need you for salvation. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. My life is messed up, jacked up, no joy, no peace. And I don't know about you, but I knew enough about the Bible. Grew up in the church. I knew I was on my way to hell. So I'm glad God answered my salvific prayer back in 92. But since that time, I've seen him answer many other prayers. I've seen him do all kind of things, just blow my mind. And sometimes I prayed and like the prayer didn't get answered and all that, I'm talking about answered prayer. I remember one day I was at work at TVA. I worked at TVA for 16 and a half years and we had been working a lot of overtime. And I was just mentally, the programmers, Brother Jeffrey and Brother Chris and Brother Sidney, they can relate. I was just mentally drained. And I was working in Warehouse Row at that time. And here it is, I'm working for a company called TVA. Which produces power, right? TVA produces power, right? Y'all with me? So it was about mid-afternoon. I'm just drained. I've been working late. I said, Lord, I would love to have a break. I'm just wore out. Guess what? About 2:30 that afternoon, working at TVA who produces power, the power went off. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all not hearing me. God showed me TVA got a little power. But God has all power. And so, you know, I guess the backup generator wasn't working quite right or whatever. So a few minutes later, my manager came back and said, well, since we don't have any power, y'all can go home. I praised the Lord all the way home. I said, thank you for the break, Lord. Thank you. You got all power. TVA got some power, but you got all power. You can't convince me that God didn't hear and answer my prayer. I needed a break. All of us, can I get a hand? All of us, God has answered some prayers for us. I'm going to leave this alone, but I got a few standing up. I'm going to leave this alone, but I can even think back before I was walking with the Lord, before I was born again. I was in some places I should not have been. I was in some stuff that I should not have been in. How many of us have prayed, Lord, if you just get me out of this one. Lord, just get me out of this time. I'll straighten up. And God would get me out of that stuff. I hope y'all didn't do this. God would get me out of that stuff. And next thing you know, my crazy stuff, I'm back in something that's about as bad again. That's why I said, I thank God for his mercy and his long suffering and his patience. I finally kind of got some sense. But God hears and answers prayers. That's all I'm saying. God hears and answers prayers. Sometimes he moves speedily, sometimes slowly, sometimes he moves and maybe answers in ways we don't even realize, but God hears and answers the prayers of his people. That's reason enough to say, hey, I want to try to live on this love level. I want to stay in right relationship with the Lord. I want to be close to him. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 22. It says, whatever we ask. Now, see, I'm going to spend a little time on the first part of 22, but you got to preach and teach and read your Bible in balance. The first part of 22 said, we love this part. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Let me read the whole thing though. Because, why are our prayers being answered? Well, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. See, you can't preach and teach verse 22, the first part, without the second part. In other words, God is not some Aladdin is out now with Will Smith. He's not some Aladdin. You know, you rub the genie. He's not some little genie, you know, come out of the bottle and say, okay, whatever I ask God, whatever I ask Jesus, he gonna give it to me. No, that's not the message of the Bible. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I even see Jesus himself praying in the Garden of Gethsemane three times. Lord, if it's any other way, let this cup pass from me. And then, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I hear Paul praying three times, Lord, remove the thorn from my flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was something that was bothering him, some kind of hindrance, physically or otherwise. Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh. But I hear God saying, no, Paul, I'm not going to remove it. But my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. So be very leery when you hear people preaching this first part of verse 22. Talking about whatever you ask, God is going to give it. Well, number one, it's a lie. That's not even the full verse. The full verse says you're getting your prayers answered because, look at the latter part, because you are obeying his commandments, because you are living and doing what he wants you to do, right? So this is a conditional, somebody say conditional. This is a conditional promise. You can't just grab the first part and say, okay, I'm a Christian. Whatever I ask God to do, he gonna do it. No, that's not the message of the Bible. That's not the message of the Bible. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is not name it and claim it, nab it and grab it, call it and haul it. No, it's none of that. No. It's, are you keeping his commandments? Are you pleasing to him? You remember, obedience precedes blessings. I say that from time to time. Obedience precedes blessings. Obedience precedes answered prayer. You can't be, I'm going to step on the toes right now, maybe. You can't be, check this out. I hear this sometimes as I talk to different people. You can't be shacking up, having premarital sex, fornication every day or every other day. Talking about, Lord, I'm going to bless my relationship. I ain't going to bless your relationship. That's an easy one there. You can't just live any kind of way and say, God, gonna bless my relationship. No, he ain't. Not from the Bible that I read. I just read, your prayers are being answered, but it's because you're keeping his commandments and you're doing what pleases him. You can't live junky and talk about, well, I'm just, yeah, God gonna bless whatever I ask. No. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Hang out with God. Walk with God, please God, delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen, you might want to write this down, from that verse, when your delight is in the love of God, watch this, your desires will be in the will of God. When your delight, is in the love of God, then your desires will be in the will of God. And so because your delight is in the love of God, the desires you're asking him for and those things, yeah, God said, oh yeah, that pleases me. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah, boom, boom. But first your delight has to be in the love of God. Then your desires will be in the will of God. We got so many verses that tell us, give us assurance on this prayer thing and the connection between prayer and being obedient. John 14, 15, I'm going to read it again in just a second, but it says, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because answer prayer, a prerequisite to answer prayer is, once again, being obedient. John 14, 21, Jesus said it this way. He said, whoever has my commandments, whoever, and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. So we can say all day long, beloved, I love God, I love Jesus. But if I'm not desiring to keep his commandments, if I'm not desiring to pursue him in holiness, Sister McKenzie, my love for him must be, something is wrong somewhere. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said this in John 14, 23. I'm just talking about the benefits of living on a love level. Jesus said this in John 14, 23. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode or make our home with him. Jesus said, if you really love me and you're keeping my commandment, me and my father, we're going to hang out with you. We're going to make our home, our abode with you. We're going to abide together. John 16:23, Jesus has a lot to say about prayer and obedience. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, meaning in his name, in his will, in his way, he will give it to you. That's a wonderful promise. Jesus said, if you asking it in my name, according to my will and my way, my Father will give it to you, Jesus says. So if you're praying in his name, praying in his will, and you know, living on the love level, you're loving the Lord, and you're laying down your life for others, you're going to have some answered prayers. Let me say that again. You're going to have some answered prayers. Now, if it's the other way, that hinders our prayer life. Our husbands, you might want to lean forward on this one. I know Father's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks, but listen to this. Out of 1 Peter 3:7 tells us that if we are not treating our spouse right, our prayers will be hindered. I'm going to say that one again. 1 Peter 3:7 for all the brothers. If we're not treating our spouses right, the Lord said, well, get on up off your knee now. You're not treating your wife right. Go back and get right with your wife. If we're not treating our wife right, our prayers will be hindered. So the question is, out of verse 22, saints, before we grab the first part and say, hey, whatever I ask, I'm going to receive from him. I'm going to get it. No, first is, are you keeping his commandments? Are you loving him and others? Are you pleasing him? Are you seeking to please him? Because if you are, if you're living on that love level, there is a benefit of answered prayer. But once again, this is a conditional promise, not unconditional. You know, some of the promises God gives us in the scripture are unconditional. But a lot of things are conditional. So, benefits of living on the love level. Assurance of our salvation. Second, answered prayer. Prayers will be answered. Third thing, write this one down. It's out of verse 23 and 24. I'll read it in a second. We get to experience the abiding presence and power of the Holy Spirit. If you're living on a love level, as a Christian, we understand we all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but we're told to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us or to guide us or to empower us daily. That's an ongoing thing. The indwelling, that's a one-time thing that happens at salvation. So living on a love level, we have this abiding, this filling presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So some Christians are not experiencing much power of the Lord and much power of the Holy Spirit because they're not operating on this love level. They're not loving the Lord. They're not loving others. Look at verse 23 and 24, and then I'm through. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, that we believe, that we have trust, that we put faith in Jesus Christ. That speaks to salvation. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. You know, some people say, well, you know, me and God, we type, me and Jesus, but you know, these other folks, no, it's a package deal. So how it's kind of like, okay, if you love the Lord, are you going to love people? I said it last week. You're not going to always like all a person's personalities, all their ways. Be honest, beloved. You ain't like all your own ways. It's some stuff you do. You're like, man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I hate I did that. So you're not going to love everybody's ways all the time. No, but we can love that person, right? So this verse says, basically, when you come to the Lord, confess that Jesus is the Christ, love one another. Verse 24 says, whoever keeps his commandments, this is the obedience test and the love test, that person abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know. Somebody said, we know. Now, earlier, we talked about we know because if we are the truth, we reassure our heart. And we know also later, early on, verse 16, talks about we know what love is by Christ laying down his life. Here it is. We can know that he abides in us, that he hangs out in us, that he resides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. See, the Holy Spirit, beloved, is He comes and lives inside of us. You know, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. He does various things. He seals us in the day of redemption. He leads us into all truths. He convicts us of sin. He also, as this verse just said, he affirms or confirms that we belong to the Lord. The Holy Spirit does. Now, we can do things in our Christian life to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, he assures us. He assures us that we belong to the Lord. We're going to put this on the screen for you in John chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 15. I read it earlier, but we're going to start at verse 16 on the screen. But let me read verse 15 real quickly. John 14. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Y'all see the connection between loving the Lord and how we live? Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And then he says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father. This is what he's talking to his disciples before the Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. Somebody said, we got another helper. We got God the Father. We got God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also we got another helper, God the Holy Spirit. I will send you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive, those who reject Christ, the world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But talking to the Christian now, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. As a Christian now, like I said, he was telling his disciples this before he went on back to glory and sent the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, we can say, wow, the Holy Spirit dwells in me and he is with me. The Holy Spirit dwells in the born again believer and he is with us. He is with us every day. You can never say, I am all alone. You might say, I'm alone as it relates to human companionship. But as a follower of Christ, one of the blessings is we are never all alone. The song says, no, never alone. No, never alone. He walks with me. He talks with me. Paul said, I love what Paul said this at the time when he was on trial and pretty much everybody had forsaken him. Everybody had left. He said, none stood with me. He said, everybody left me. He said, wait a minute. No, the Lord stood with me. Jesus was with me. So God is always with us, beloved. Then verse 16 says, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus said, I will come to you. I will come to you. I will come to you. I will not leave you by yourself. The Lord said, I will come to you. You know him, for he dwells in you and with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, the Holy Spirit says. So again, beloved, benefits of living on a love level. First off, the assurance of your salvation. The assurance of your salvation. Say, I know I belong to Jesus. Because I'm doing things just normally in the flesh I would not even do. So I know I belong to Jesus. Also, another benefit of just out of this text, there are more, but just out of this, these verses before us, another benefit is the key to answered prayer is, are you living on a love level? How's your fellowship? How's your communion? How's your relationship with the Lord? As a Christian, we always have a relationship like he's always our Father, but sometimes we can drift away just like earthly relationships. And the third thing is, as you live on a love level, you experience the indwelling, he's in you, the infilling, the filling and the controlling and the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know about you saints. I would like to say you would say yes, but I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to be led by the Word of God. I want to love God in such a way that others will see that, yes, she is a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the world may know. That the world may know that God really did send Jesus. It's enough of us in here right now to make a difference in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know, as we go back out to our various homes, our various apartments, our various jobs, it's enough of us in here right now. If people see you and see me and see the love of God, the love of Christ, see salt and light, we can make a difference in this city, just us in here. I'm talking about just us in here. I mean, the Lord took 12 men. 12 men, they were untrained, uneducated. He took 12 men and turned the world upside down. So surely he can take, you know, those of us in here this morning and turn Chattanooga upside down. Benefits to living on a love level. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, we thank you for, as we live this Christian life, that we do experience some benefits. One, of course, is we are a Christian. We are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're your sons. We're your daughters. So, Father, also, we've been blessed to see answered prayer. Thank you for answering prayers, dear God. Thank you for answering prayers in ways that we see sometimes and sometimes ways we don't even see. And also, dear Lord, thank you for the privilege and the blessing of your indwelling Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that's inside of us. That indeed, dear Lord, we can live this Christian life out. That we can love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we can love others as ourselves. That we can, yes, as Jesus did, lay down our lives for the brethren. Help us, dear God. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.